نستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله حق تقاته ولا تموتن إلا وأنتم مسلمون يا أيها الناس اتقوا ربكم الذي خلقكم من نفس واحدة وخلق منها زوجها وبث منهما رجالا كثيرا ونساء واتقوا الله الذي تساءلون به والأرحام إن الله كان عليكم رقيبا يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله وقولوا قولا سديدا يصلح لكم أعمالكم ويغفر لكم ذنوبكم ومن يطع الله ورسوله قد فاز فوزا عظيما أما بعد فإن أصدق الحديث كتاب الله تبارك وتعالى خير الهدى هدى محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم وشر الأمور محدثاتها وكل محدثة بدعة وكل بدعة ضلالة وكل ضلالة في النار. When alhamdulillah, we praise Allah, we seek His forgiveness and seek His assistance. We seek refuge in Allah from the evil in ourselves and from our bad deeds. Whomever Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala guides, no one can misguide him. And whomever Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala allows to be misguided, there is no guide for him. I bear witness that there is no God, no deity, no object of worship, worthy of worship other than Allah. He stands alone with no partners. And I bear witness that the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is a slave, servant, and messenger. O you who believe, fear Allah as you ought to be feared, and die not except as Muslims. O humanity, fear your Lord, who has created you from a single soul, and created from him its mate, and scattered from them too many men and women. And fear Allah for whom you demand your mutual rights, and don't put off relations with the wounds that bore you. Indeed, Allah is a Raqib, a watcher over you. O you who believe, say that which is correct, and always speak the truth, so that Allah may accept from your good deeds, and forgive you of your sins, and whoever obeys Allah and his messenger has achieved the greatest achievement. Amma baidu, surely the most truthful speech is the book of Allah. And the finest guidance is the guidance of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And the most evil of affairs are new and better matters in the religion. For every new and better matter in this religion is a bid'ah. Every bid'ah is a strain. And every strain is in the hellfire. Continuing on, the next chapter is the Muslim and his wife. Marriage in Islam offers tranquility to the soul and peace of mind so that the man and woman may live together in an atmosphere of love, mercy, harmony, cooperation, mutual advice, and tolerance, and lay the foundation for raising a Muslim family in a nurturing, sound environment. The Holy Quran has described in the most moving and eloquent terms this eternal, natural relationship between man and woman, which is filled with tranquility, security, love, understanding, and compassion. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in Surah Ar-Rum, Ayat 21, which means, and among his signs is this, that he created you for you mates from among yourselves, that you may dwell in tranquility with them, and he has put love and mercy between your hearts. Verily, in that are signs for those who reflect. Marriage is a union of souls in the deepest sense. Allah joins these two souls together so that they may enjoy tranquility and stability in a marital home filled with sincere love and compassionate mercy. In Islam, the righteous woman is viewed as one of the joys of this life and a great blessing to a man, for he comes home to her and he relaxes after facing the struggles of life and finds with her incomparable peace, comfort, and pleasure. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam spoke the truth when he said, this world is just temporary conveniences, and the best comfort in this world is a righteous woman. Islam regards marriage very highly and views femininity as something to be valued and cherished. On the basis of this view of marriage and of women, the Muslim is not attracted by the empty-headed attitude displayed by some girls nowadays. Rather, he is attracted by a sound Muslim personality, and he takes his time in choosing a partner for life, looking for a partner who has the right Islamic characteristics, which he makes which will make for a stable and happy married life. Therefore, he is not interested in the superficial physical beauty, grace, and elegance that are the sole concern of empty-headed youngsters. While he does not ignore physical looks, he also looks for strong religious belief and practice, intelligence, and good behavior. Following the advice of the Prophet, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, a woman may be married for four things: for her wealth, for her noble descent, for her beauty, or for her religion. Choose the one who is religious, may your hands be rubbed with dust. Although the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam advised a young Muslim to look for a religious wife, this does not mean that he should ignore his preferences regarding physical beauty. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam encouraged seeing a woman before finalizing the marriage, so that the Muslim would not find himself trapped in a marriage with a woman he finds unattractive. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam Okay, Shukran, I'm sorry about that. Hold on a second. Okay, sorry about that. Although the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam advised a young Muslim to look for a religious wife, this does not mean that he should ignore the preferences regarding physical beauty. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam encouraged seeing a woman before finalizing the marriage, so that a Muslim would not find himself trapped in a marriage with a woman he finds unattractive. Mughira ibn Shabab said, "I got engaged to a woman at the time of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He asked me, 'Have you seen her?' I said, 'No.' He said, 'Go and have a look at her, because it is more fitting that love and compatibility be established between you.'" A man who had got engaged to a woman from the Ansar came to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, who asked him, "Have you seen her?" He said, "No." So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam ordered him to go and see her. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam emphasized in more than one hadith the fact that beauty is one of the basic characteristics that a man should look for in a woman, besides the other moral characteristics that are desirable. Indeed, the two are inseparable. For example, he told Ibn Abbas, "Shall I tell you the most precious thing a man can have? It is a righteous wife. When he looks at her, he is pleased. When he tells her to do something, she obeys. And when he is away, she is faithful and loyal to him." Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu said, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was asked, "Which woman is the best?" He said, "The one who pleases him when he looks at her, who obeys him when he tells her to do something, and who does not do something he dislikes with regard to herself or to his wealth." This is the guidance given by the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam regarding the personality of a woman who could bring happiness, tranquility, and stability to a man, and who can make a cheerful, pleasant, and secure home in which to raise a successful, courageous, intelligent children. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam insisted that marriage should be firmly built on solid foundations, striking a balance between physical, mental, spiritual, and emotional needs, so that it will not be rocked by personality clashes or differences in attitude. Therefore, the true Muslim who is guided by the Sharia of Allah in all his affairs does not fall for the wills of the Jezebels, who are the beautiful women of bad character. Rather, he tells people, "Beware of the Jezebels." He follows the guidance of Islam in his married life. After marriage, the true Muslim adheres to the Islamic injunction to treat his wife well. The Islamic recommendations concerning women and the way in which Islam recognizes men to respect them are nothing short of amazing. Islam recommends men to treat women well and gives them a status that they have never enjoyed in any other religion. So we see the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam admonishing all men. He says, treat women kindly, for women are created from a rib. The part of it that is most bent is the top. If you try to straighten it, you will break it. And if you leave it alone, it will remain bent. So treat women kindly. According to a report by Abu Bakr Muslim, he sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, a woman is like a rib. If you try to straighten it, you will break it. And if you enjoy her, you will do so in spite of her crookedness. And according to a report given by a Muslim, he sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, the woman was created from a rib. She will never be straightforward and consistent for you in any way. If you enjoy her, you will do so in spite of her crookedness. If you try to straighten her, you will break her. And your breaking her is her divorce. This description given by the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam eloquently describes the reality and nature of women. She will not remain consistent in the way her husband may wish, but the Muslim husband must understand that this is her nature, the way she has been created. He should not try to straighten her in the way he is convinced is correct, but he should respect her unique feminine nature and accept her that way. Allah made her complete with the crookedness. That means that she will not be as he wishes in some aspects. If he insists on straightening her and molding her to his wishes, it will be like trying to straighten a bent rib. It will break in his hands, and the breaking of a woman is divorce. When the Muslim husband truly follows the guidance of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, which is based on a deep understanding of the psychology and nature of women, he will tolerate his wife's mistakes and turn a blind eye to her faults, recognizing that these are part of her nature. Thus, the marital home will be safe and calm and free from shouting or arguments. You may note that in a hadith quoted above, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam started with the words, treat women kindly. Then after analyzing the nature of women, he ended with the same words, treat women kindly. How great was the concern of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam for women, and how deep was his understanding of their psychology? Does a sincere Muslim husband have any choice but to follow this guidance and put it into practice at every moment? The Prophet's concern for women reached such an extent that he did not forget to remind Muslims to treat them kindly in his farewell sermon. This is the khutbah in which the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam reiterated the central points of Islam, when he realized that this was the last time he would stand and address the Muslims during Hajj. He did not omit to advise Muslims to treat women kindly, beginning his words concerning women with a warning that is indicative of his care and concern. He sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, interact with women kindly, for they are your prisoners, and you have no other power over them than that. If they are guilty of open lewdness, they refuse to share their bed and beat them, but not severely. But if they return to obedience, then seek not against the means of annoyance. You have rights over your women, and they have rights over you. Your right over them is that they should not entertain at your hearth or commit adultery with anyone whom you dislike, and not to allow into your home anyone whom you dislike. And their right over you is that you should feed and clothe them well. This is good advice, in which every sincere Muslim husband recognizes the wisdom of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam in defining the rights and duties of husband and wife in a framework of mercy, compassion towards the women, which leaves no room for even thinking of oppressing or harming one's wife. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam gave many recommendations concerning women, to the extent that he described the man who treats his wife well as being one of the best and among the elite of his ummah. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said in an authentic hadith collected in Al-Tirmidhi, the believer who has the most perfect faith is the one whose behavior is best, and the best of you are the ones who are best to your women. Some women came to the family of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam complaining about their husbands. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam announced to the men, many women have visited the family of Muhammad complaining about their husbands. Verily, those are not the best among you. Truly, Islam is preeminent in its fairness and respect towards women, and its recommendation to husbands to treat their women well, even if they dislike them. This is something which women have never enjoyed throughout their history, except in this religion. Allah says in the Quran, in Surah An-Nisa, ayat 19, live with them on a footing of kindness and equity. If you take a dislike to them, it may be that you dislike a thing, and Allah brings about through it a great deal of good. This ayat touches the heart of the true Muslim, so that his anger is soothed and his dislike towards his wife is lessened. In this way, Islam protects the sacred marriage bond from being exposed to the danger of turbulent emotions and the folly of changing moods. When a man came to Umar ibn Khattab, radiallahu anhu, and told him that he wanted to divorce his wife because he disliked her, Umar said, "Woe to you. Are families only built on love? Where is your consideration and care?" The marriage bond in Islam is of great importance than emotional whims and risings above the pressures of crazy animal urges. The true Muslim possesses enough chivalry, nobility, courtesy, patience, generosity, and strength of character to make him rise above any dislike of his wife and his dealings with her. Far be it from him to think only in terms of mindless animal instincts or making a profit. The true Muslim cannot do other than obey his Lord, so he treats his wife well, even if he dislikes her, because he understands the words of his wise Lord about the things that are hidden from him, and there are many. A man may dislike something and try to distance himself from it, when in fact it is full of goodness and blessing. The true Muslim knows how to love and how to hate. Love is not blind for him, neither does he go to extremes of dislike and hatred, but in either case his attitude is moderate and balanced. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam explained that even if a husband dislikes his believing Muslim wife, she will still have some favorable characteristics which will please him. So he should not ignore the good side of her character and focus only on the negative aspects. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said in the hadith, "No believing man should hate a believing woman. If he dislikes one of her characteristics, there will be others that do please him." The true Muslim abides by the clear, unambiguous text of the Quran, which commands him to treat women fairly and decently. He cannot be other than an ideal husband, so his wife enjoys his gentle company and close companionship, no matter how long they stay together. When he comes home, he greets his wife and his children with a smiling face and extends to them the blessed greeting that Allah has enjoyed and made a distinctive greeting of Islam. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in Surah An-Nur, ayat 61, which means, "But if you enter houses, salute each other, a greeting or blessing and purity as from Allah." The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam encouraged Anas radiallahu anhu to use this greeting, "O my son, when you go home, greet your family with salam. It will be a blessing for you and your family." It is truly a great blessing for a man to meet his family with a pleasant greeting, for it contributes to happiness, friendly and pleasant atmosphere. He should lend a hand if he sees that his wife needs his help, and he should say some words of comfort if he feels that she is complaining of tiredness, weariness, or boredom. He should make her feel that she is living with a strong, generous, tolerant husband who will protect her and care for her, who cares about her and will meet all her legitimate needs as long as he is able. He should also satisfy her femininity by making himself attractive to her within Islamic limits. And he should give her a share of his time and interest. He should not let his study, work, hobbies, responsibilities, or friends take up all of his time and keep him from her. Islam guarantees women's right to enjoy her husband to the extent that it even tells the husband not to spend all of his time in worship, which is the best and most honorable of deeds. Lest the balance and equilibrium upon which this religion is based be disturbed. We see this in a report by Abdullah ibn Amr ibn al-As, radiallahu anhu, who said that when the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam learned of his overzealousness in worship, he said to him, "Have I not heard that you fast all day and stay up all night in prayer?" Abdullah said, "That is true, O Messenger of Allah." The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam told him, "Do not do that. Fast and break your fast. Sleep and get up, for your body has a right over you. Your eyes have a right over you. Your wife has a right over you. And your visitors have a right over you." Khawla, the daughter of Hakim, who was the wife of Uthman ibn Maz'un, radiallahu anhu, came to the wives of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam wearing a tattered dress and looking unkempt. They asked her, "What is wrong with you?" She told them about her husband. At night he stays up in prayer, and during the day he fasts. They told the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam what she had said. So when he saw Uthman ibn Maz'un, he admonished him and said, "Do you not have any example in me?" Uthman said, "Of course, may Allah cause me to be sacrificed for you." Later, she came back wearing fine clothes and with a pleasant scent. According to another report, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told him, "O Uthman, Monasticism has not been prescribed for us. Do you not have any example in me? I am the one out of all of you who fears Allah the most and keeps most strictly within his bounds." The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to instill this guidance in his companions and show them how to achieve fairness and balance between their spiritual lives and their private lives with their spouses, until this fairness and balance became second nature to them. Then they would encourage one another to adhere to it, and would appeal to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam if one of their number sought to go beyond the limits and was becoming extreme in his self-denial and worship. Even al-Bukhari narrated that Abu Juhayfa radiallahu anhu said, "The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam established brotherhood between Salman and Abu Darda. Salman visited Abu Darda and saw al-Darda looking unkempt. He asked her, 'What is the matter with you?' She said, 'Your brother Abu Darda has no need of this world.' Abu Darda came and made some food for him and told him, 'Eat. I am fasting.' Salman said, 'I will not eat until you eat.' So he ate. That night, Abu Darda wanted to spend the night in prayer, but Salman told him to sleep, so he went to sleep. Then he wanted to get up, but Salman again told him to sleep. In the last part of the night, Salman told him, 'Now get up.' So they prayed, and Salman told him, 'Your Lord has a right over you. Your soul has a right over you, and your wife has a right over you. So fulfill your duty to each one who has a right over you.' Abu Darda came to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and told him about what had happened. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, 'Salman is right.'" The conscientious Muslim does not neglect to relieve the tedium of routine life of his wife. So he spices their daily life with a little gentle humor and a playfulness from time to time. In doing so, he follows the example of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, whose whole life is the highest example for us. Although he busy with overwhelming tasks of laying the foundations of Islam, building the Muslim Ummah, directing the army in jihad, and numerous other concerns, he did not let that keep him from being an ideal husband to his wives, treating them in the best possible way, with a smiling face and a touch of gentle humor. An example was the report given by Aisha radiallahu anha, who said, "I came to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam with some hirara, which is a dish made with flour and milk, that I had cooked for him, and told Sauda radiallahu anha, as the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was sitting between me and her, 'Eat.' She refused, so I said, 'Either you eat or I will fill your face.' She still refused, so I put my hand in the hirara and dabbed it on her face. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam laughed and put some harara in her hand and told her, 'Do the same to her.' In another report, he lowered his knee, moved out of the way, so that she could get her own back on me. Then she took some of her plate and wiped my face with it, and the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam laughed." Is this not an example of tolerance and easygoing nature, which makes a wife happy through a humorous and lighthearted attitude? Aisha radiallahu anha also reported that once, when she went on a journey with the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, she challenged him to a race and won. Later, when she had gained weight, she raised him again, but this time he won, and he told her, "This is for that." The generous-hearted Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was so keen to make his beloved young wife feel happy that he will call her to enjoy some innocent kinds of entertainment that will gladden her heart. Aisha, radiallahu anha, reports that on one occasion, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was sitting, and he heard some noise from people and children outside. There was a group of people gathered around some Abyssinians who were dancing. He said, "Oh Aisha, come and see." I put my cheek on his shoulder and looked through the gap. Then he said, "Oh Aisha, have you had enough? Have you had enough?" I said, "No," just to see how much I had meant to him. And I saw him shifting his weight from one foot to another. When the believer sees the example of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam's kind behavior, generosity, and good humor towards his wives, the true Muslim cannot but treat his wife kindly and gently with an easygoing attitude, so long as this is within the limits and permissibility and innocent entertainment. The true Muslim does not overreact and become angry for trivial reasons, as many ignorant husbands do, creating uproar if their wife offers them food that is not to their liking, or that meal is a little late, or any of the other reasons which often cause an inordinate amount of anger, arguments, and trouble between the spouses. The Muslim who is truly following the example of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam always remembers aspects of his character that remind him to be generous, kind, and tolerant. So he remembers that one of the characteristics of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is that he never criticized food. If he liked it, he ate it. And if he did not like it, he simply left it. And he remembers that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam asked his family for some simple food he could eat with bread. They told him, "We have nothing apart from vinegar." He asked them to bring it, and he said, "How good a simple food is vinegar. How good a simple food is vinegar." Let them listen to this hadith, whose foolish husbands, whose eyes flash with anger at their wives' mistakes when their food is a little late or not to their liking. Their poor wives may have genuine pressing reasons for making these mistakes, but these husbands become angry without caring to know the reasons. On the basis of an incorrect understanding of the phrase, men are the protectors over women. The true Muslim husband does not stop at showing kindness and generosity towards his wife, but he extends his respect and kindness towards her decent female friends. This in accordance to the practice of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Aisha radiallahu anhu narrated, "An old woman came to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and he smiled at her, showed her respect, and asked her, 'How are you? How have you been doing?' She answered, 'I am fine. May my father and mother be sacrificed for you, O Messenger of Allah.' When she left, Aisha said, 'Why did you welcome this old woman so warmly, in a way that you not welcome anyone else?' The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam replied, 'She used to come and visit us when Khadija was alive. Do you not know that honoring the ties of friendship is part of faith?' A wife may become angry for any reason and keep away from her husband, making him feel her anger. In this case, the Muslim husband responds with tolerance and kindness based on his deep insight into the psychology and nature of women. As the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam used to treat his wives whenever they were angry with him, and kept away from him all day until night fell. Umar ibn Khattab, radiallahu anhu, said, "We Quraysh used to have control over our women. When we came to Medina, we found a people whose women had control over them. And our women began to learn from these women. I used to live in Al-Awali among Bani Umayyah ibn Zayd. One day my wife was angry with me and was arguing with me. I did not like this, but she told me, 'Do you not like me arguing with you?' By Allah, the wives of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam argue with him. They get angry and keep away from him all day until night falls. So I went to see Hafsa and I asked her, 'Do you argue with the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam?' She said, 'Yes.' I asked her, 'Do you get angry and keep away from him all day until night falls?' She said, 'Yes.' I said, 'The one who does that is doomed to loss. Do you not fear the anger of Allah on account of the anger of his Prophet? Soon you will be condemned. Do not argue with the Messenger of Allah and do not ask him for anything. Ask me for whatever you need.' Umar came to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and told him about what had happened in his house and the conversation he had with Hafsa, and the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam smiled. The Muslim should develop this tolerant attitude so that he will be following the example of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam in his behavior and deeds. Then he will be a living proof that Islam is the religion of a superior lifestyle, and that the misery, disintegration, confusion, and anxiety that individuals, families, and societies are suffering from are caused by man's ignorance and misconceptions of the noble values that are put forth by Islam. These are precious principles which, if adopted by the husband, will put an end to arguments and divisions in family life, and will bring peace, stability, happiness, and security to the home. Inshallah, we're going to stop right here. And we'll pick up next Monday from that part on, inshallah. Subhanallah, alhamdika, ashadu an la ilaha illa anta, astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk. If anyone has any questions, feel free.